Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, talking to you from our studios in New York City. And so shalom and God bless you. And with me is Bobby Walter, who leads the work of Chosen People Ministries on the ground in New York City. Welcome, Bobby.
Yes, thank you, Mitch. Shalom to you and shalom to all of our listeners. As always, we are very grateful that you're tuning in with us today. And Mitch, I believe we're going to continue our series here that we've been working through in Romans 9, 10, and 11.
Right, but we're doing it Jewish style, right to left. So we started in chapter 11, we're working our way back to chapter 9.
That's right, that's right.
This is such an important chapter and number of chapters. After I was first saved in 1970, I almost went to Bible college immediately. And actually it was less than a year and I was in Bible college and we took a course on New Testament survey and got to the book of Romans. And my beloved teacher, who, you know, I was such a new believer, I just felt like it was my spiritual responsibility to believe everything they said. And it was a great Bible college, but he started going through an outline of the book of Romans. And it's a good little outline. Romans 1 through 3, sin, 4 and 5, salvation, 6 through 8, sanctification, 9 through 11, parenthesis, 12 through 16, practical exhortations on the doctrinal truths in Romans 1 through 8. And, of course, I just accepted that position and didn't know any better. But, you know, you had to read it over and over and over again for the course. And I was fairly unfamiliar with the New Testament, even though I had read it a few times. But I was still only a year old in the Lord. I didn't really understand a theology or much about how to put everything I read in the Bible together into one systematic system or some way to understand it. And so I kept reading it and saying, well, whoa, you know, what kind of parenthesis is this? It seems like, why would you make this a parenthesis? And it wasn't really a parenthesis, but Paul did change his tune just a little bit in Romans 9 through 11. And instead of speaking more theologically and doctrinally, he started really bearing his own heart and his own soul regarding his burden for his own Jewish people to come to faith. Mm-hmm. So the apostle to the Gentiles was expressing his deep desire and concern for Jewish people to hear the gospel. And Romans 9, 10, and 11 just explains. It's almost like a commentary on the early chapters of the book of Genesis, beginning with chapter 12 with the Abrahamic covenant, because Paul takes the beginning and the end into consideration. Some people say that Paul started this discussion in Romans chapter 3 and then picked it up again in Romans 9 through 11 about the advantages and the blessings that God gave to the Jewish people. Ultimately, the greatest blessing, Jesus, which was the very blessing that Jewish people did not at that moment accept. And so beginning in Romans chapter 11, and we will work our way back to 9 and 10, but beginning in Romans chapter 11, we have the Apostle Paul talking about the response of the Jewish people to the gospel message. And that response was not necessarily great, but it was not unexpected. And so, Bobby, you want to read verses 1 through 5, and then let's try and understand Paul's view of this spiritual Israel, this remnant within Israel that is both faithful to God in believing the promises of God and accepting Jesus as Messiah, and yet also included, of course, still within the nation of Israel. And so these are the Jewish people, like myself, who are still very Jewish and still under the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant, but, of course, who are also under the wonderful joy of the new covenant, of knowing Jesus as their Savior. But that's not true of all Jewish people. And so, Bobby, let's hear it.
Yeah, I'd love to read. So Romans 11, beginning in verse 1. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be, for I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In the same way, then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace.
So, any comments on this passage, Bobby?
Yeah. So, Mitch, one thing I think we see right off the bat is, like you said, Paul is speaking to a real audience here of these Roman believers, a mixture of primarily Gentile believers, but also some Jewish believers in Rome who he's never met yet. And in those first eight chapters, like you said, it's very clear. He's talking about sin. He's talking about salvation. At the end of Romans chapter 8, he gives this just beautiful description of the security that we have in the Messiah and how nothing is going to be able to rip us out of God's hand or separate us from the love of Messiah. And then beginning in chapter 9, and we see it here in chapter 11 as well, it's almost like Paul is anticipating the question of his audience, the question of his readers. Well, what about Israel? What about the Jewish people? Because we see that when Yeshua, Jesus, came to Israel, for the most part, the nation rejected him. There were many thousands of individual Jewish people who believed, but again, the nation as a whole rejected him. So Paul is trying to answer that question meticulously in Romans 9, 10, and 11. And here in chapter 11 at the start, again, it's like he's posing this hypothetical question that his audience probably has. Has God rejected his people? And who are his people? It's the Jewish people. It's the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Paul's response, Paul's, you know, firmly theological response is, no, God has not rejected Israel. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. And then he goes on and gives the example of the remnant of this, like you mentioned, this small group within the whole, this small faction within the whole nation of Israel that has not, like in Elijah's day, bowed the knee to Baal, has not rejected the Messiah Yeshua, the Messiah Jesus, but instead has believed. And that this remnant of Jewish people who have believed in Jesus, that this is an act of God. It's God's gracious choice who this remnant is.
Yeah. Well, I'm part of that remnant, Bobby. And it's a joy to be part of that remnant. And I'm glad that Paul was successful among the Gentiles, Bobby, and that would include eventually you.
Yeah.
And so we're both happy campers here.
Very much so.
To be part of the Lord's work, to be part of the church. Sometimes it's a little confusing being part of Israel and part of the church, but, you know, I work it out. And so one of the things that I believe is important in terms of our understanding Scripture is to understand God's covenants. And there's a slew of covenants, and I'm sure some of you listening are well familiar with them, so I won't go into too much detail. But you have the Abrahamic covenant, where God promised the Jewish people that they would be a people in perpetuity. They would have a land, the boundaries detailed in Genesis chapter 15, that the possession of the land would go through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and to the further generations of ethnic Jewish people. And then that there was implicit in it a promised relationship with God, and then there was a mission attached to it. And that mission was to be a blessing to the nations. And of course, God said to Abram, I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I like to imagine that the Jewish people are a bridge of redemption for the nations. And of course, through the Jewish people, Paul would argue, came the Bible, and through the Jewish people came the Messiah. And so the Abrahamic covenant is also unconditional. In other words, that covenant will be fulfilled. And if God needs to just simply do a workaround with the Jewish people and somehow get us to respond properly, he's going to do it because he gave his word. And there were no conditions. But there's also a parallel covenant going on. And Paul talks about this in Galatians too. And that's the Mosaic covenant. The Mosaic covenant is a different kind of covenant. It's an if and covenant. If you obey, you are blessed. And if you don't obey, you are cursed. And the primary focus of the curse is in being in or out of the land. And in Deuteronomy 4, God, through Moses, told the Jewish people before they entered the land that they will be dispersed from the land because of their disobedience. And then actually Moses acts as quite the prophet and says, but in the latter days, God will bring you back to the land. And so there is that life on the basis of the Mosaic covenant. And then, of course, there's the new covenant where we have the promise that's not only for Jewish people, but for all, as Jesus himself instituted that covenant in Luke chapter 22, which promises us forgiveness of sin and the law being written on our hearts, which means we are forgiven, but we're also empowered to live life differently. Now, baked into the whole picture is the Davidic covenant. And the covenant that God made with David is the promise of a king and a kingdom. And that covenant would also be unconditional. So there's no doubt that God will one day establish his kingdom and put his messianic king on the throne of Israel. And Israel will, of course, have the land, will have Jerusalem, and so on. And that will happen. It's a sure thing because the Davidic covenant is also unconditional, and it's pretty well attached to the Abrahamic covenant. And in many ways, the new covenant is an unconditional covenant because the great work of securing salvation, which is what the new covenant talks about, will be done by God himself. And that was done through Jesus, the Messiah. The Mosaic covenant, of course, is a conditional covenant. The blessings are conditional upon Israel's repentance. So when Paul talks about a remnant according to God's gracious choice, Paul is talking about entrance into the new covenant. An entrance into the new covenant is by faith, by grace through faith. And so there are a group of Jewish people who will not only inherit the land promises, but all of the spiritual promises of God, forgiveness and empowerment, because they accept Jesus as their Savior. And that's in Romans 9:6. Paul talks about this group, and they are the Israel of God, so to speak. It's not that Gentiles become Israel, it's that Jewish people get saved. And that's who Paul's talking about, that remnant, faithful remnant, as in the days of Elijah when they were obedient to God. So today, Jewish believers, that remnant, are those who are obedient to God and accept Jesus as Messiah, because we have to keep up to date on what God has revealed. So many Jewish people were blessed and eventually saved through the death of Jesus, but they look forward to what the Messiah would do. But today we look back on it. So can a Jewish person have a personal, intimate relationship with God, forgiveness of sin, and all of these wonderful things just because they're Jewish under the Abrahamic covenant? The answer to that is no, absolutely not. Jewish people would actually be judged on the basis of the Mosaic covenant. That's what Paul actually said in Romans chapters 1 through 3. And so if Jewish people are disobedient, they not only are not going to inherit the land promises, but Jewish people are not going to inherit eternal life, which is the most important thing. And so we have parallel covenants going on. The national promises to the Jewish people are secured unconditionally by the Abrahamic covenant. However, the salvation experience, new life, forgiveness of sin, and all of these other wonderful things are secured by the death of Jesus. And so everything changed at the cross, Bobby.
Right.
It all changed. Now God's plan has been revealed, that he would send his only begotten Son to be a perfect eternal sacrifice for the sins of both Jews and Gentiles. And so to get into the kingdom of God, to have that relationship with God, it's not what you're looking forward to. It's what you're looking back on and what you made by way of a commitment to the one who died for our sins and rose from the dead. And so when the Apostle Paul is talking about a remnant according to God's gracious choice, he's talking about ethnic Jewish people who have in store the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant. In other words, still have the land and being part of the Jewish people and so on. But because they've come under the new covenant by accepting Jesus as their Savior, then we understand that these are Jewish people who are, of course, part of the Jewish nation, and they are ethnically Jewish, I think is the best way to say it. But they also have everlasting life in a relationship with the God of Israel through Jesus the Messiah. And so the question is, how many of those Jewish people who have relationships with Jesus are there today? You want to take a guess, Bobby?
My guess would be that there's more than we think.
You should go into politics. Very, very diplomatic. That was good. Yeah. We've done some surveys, and we always used to think it was somewhere between 0.5% and 1% of the 15.5 million Jewish people in the world, which would make it somewhere around 150,000. And if it's 0.5%, 75,000. In the United States, we have about 6.5 million Jewish people. So that would be about 65,000 Jewish people. But all those numbers were anecdotal. Nobody ever did a survey. Mm-hmm. So we did a survey and asked the question some years ago. We asked evangelicals an ethnicity question. And we came up with 2% of evangelicals, born-again Christians, who said, we have one Jewish parent or one Jewish grandparent. That was Hitler's definition to get you into a concentration camp. Hmm. And so we used that. And the survey was done by Lifeway in 2017. And lo and behold, that 2% projected on the number of evangelicals, which might be 50 million, well, that's about 1 million Jewish people. So somewhere between 820,000 and 1 million, depending on how many evangelicals you think are in the world. And we didn't ask, are you an evangelical? We gave them four questions. Which were put out by the National Association of Evangelicals as to what determines an evangelical. Mm. And so I can't tell you a lot about these Jewish people. I know that most of them are in churches, not Messianic congregations, but the number is extraordinarily large. And I tell you, Bobby, every church I go and speak in, I usually meet 1, 2, 3 people. I was just in Brazil. I just met 6 people who say, well, my grandfather was Jewish. My grandmother was Jewish. I have one parent who was Jewish. According to the rabbis, it needs to go through the Jewish mother, but we're biblical, so we would say through the mother or the father is good enough for us, you know? And it's just amazing to see how many Jewish people believe in Jesus. And they're ethnic Jews. It doesn't mean they celebrate the Sabbath or keep kosher or they do things that religious Jewish people do, but they put their trust in Christ and they are part of the Jewish nation ethnically because of their heritage. And there are far more than we think. So you're right, Bobby, more than we think. And then one day, Romans 11, 25 through 27 will happen when all Israel will be saved. That means they will believe in their hearts that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. But as a nation, Israel will be saved. And that will be a great day, because in that day, both the spiritual promises and the land promises come together. And that will be a great day of joy, not only for the Jewish people, but for the Gentiles as well.
And you know, Mitch, I think it would be pretty cool if maybe we just threw it out there to our listeners. If you are a listener, and if you fit that mold, if you are a follower of Jesus, and one of your parents or your grandparents is Jewish, reach out to us. Just go to our website, chosenpeople.com/radio. Send us a message. Let us know you're listening. Let us know how we could pray for you.
Yeah, and that'd be great. And there's some other great materials and conferences that we can invite you to. So that would be wonderful to know who you are and where you are, because we know that we are scattered all among the states in the U.S. and regions and churches, and we'd love to connect with you.
A lot of times you're going to see in the news that Israel is a horrible country and it's doing horrible things. Here are three biblical reasons why you should consider to still love and support Israel. One, God made a promise that was everlasting to Abraham in Genesis 12, 15, and 17. He essentially promises Abraham three things. That Abraham, I am going to bless you and make you a blessing to the nations. I'm going to give you a land forever. And also, I'm going to increase your descendants. And ultimately, the seed, the Messiah, would come through Abraham. Two, modern day Israel is a fulfillment of prophecy. For almost 2,000 years, Israel ceased from being a country. But God prophesied through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 66, and he asks, can a nation be born in a day? And the answer in logical standards is, well, of course, no. But that's exactly what happened to Israel. They had ceased from being a country, but God brought Jewish people from the four corners of the nations back to their own homeland after 2,000 years. And now today, modern Israel exists in fulfillment of prophecy. Three, God still has plans for Israel's future. The past is super interesting, but there is more to come. For instance, God talks about the Messiah returning, and where's he gonna return? We know, in Jerusalem, and he's gonna set his foot down on the Mount of Olives. Also, in Romans, it talks about that one day, in fulfillment of scripture, that all of Israel will be saved. And guess what? That needs to happen in a real place and with a real people. And the Bible's already given us the name of that place, Israel. No country's perfect. So you will hear something in the news one day that Israel has done something, and maybe they really will have done something that's not great. We still live in a fallen world. Until Jesus returns, we're all gonna struggle. Countries, governments are gonna do things that aren't right. But God made an unconditional promise to Abraham and his descendants. Modern day Israel is a fulfillment of prophecy. So God is still working with them. He still has plans for them. And in light of that, there is still more to come. So if you love Jesus and you believe in the Bible, consider still loving and supporting the people and the land of Israel.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we want you to know that your faithful partnership with this ministry is enabling us to introduce Jewish people to the Messiah each and every day. And you can help us by letting us know that you're praying for this ministry. To connect online, just go to chosenpeople.com/radio. And while you're there, be sure to request your free gift.
Well, Bobby, if any of our listeners are a bit confused or trying to understand what's happening in Israel today, I don't blame you, dear friend, because I'm trying to figure it out as well. But one thing I know for sure, that whatever is happening is in one way or another the fulfillment of prophecy. And so you want to get Harold Sevner's book, Israel's Glorious Future. This short but concise guide will help walk you through Israel's history, beginning with God's covenant with Abraham, all the way to the new heavens and new earth that's found in the book of Revelation. It's a must-have reading guide for anyone who has a heart for the Jewish people. So request your free copy today at chosenpeople.com/radio.
You can also ask for Harold Sevner's book, Israel's Glorious Future, by calling us at 888-2-YESHUA. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus. Once again, that number is 888-293-7482. And now, let's wrap up today's program with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yevarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha. V'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.